Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I have a great idea today. I got it from a patient. I listen to my patients. If you can contact me, send in your insights, what you want to hear on the show. What it's teaching me is I have to get more deeply into how you view things against my worldview, because there's so much that I take for granted after 20 years. So I had a great conversation this week with a patient of mine, and she said to me, Dr. Medici, what I'd like to hear is the story of food. What happens? What really happens? If you could magnify and trace the journey of food once it goes into your mouth and comes out the other end, if it does, I would learn so much. And I thought about it. I said, that is a fantastic idea. I wish I had the video of that. I could do a documentary on that, but I think we can put it to radio. You know, radio is the theater of your mind. So use your imagination now, and we're going to do the story of food today. And if you've got indigestion, and a lot of people do, this is the show for you. Now, you're going to eat a piece of steak, and that piece of steak is going to be eaten rare. You know my preference for rare steak, because if it's rare, it has the enzymes in it, and it saves you the enzymes you're going to have to use later on. And those enzymes, as they deplete, age you. That's an aging marker. How many enzymes you have left? When you're 70, if you don't have a lot of your pancreatic enzymes left to use, or if your pancreas is burnt and you can't make them anymore, you age rapidly. We've already had five calls to the show today, people over the age of 60 years old. And they say, my health was fantastic. And then one day, I just got sick. And that was 5 years ago. And that's because you've used those enzymes. Before you get sick, digestion goes down the tube. It almost always happens this way. Digestion leads to big problems. So when you put that piece of steak in your mouth, you chew it. You chew it. You chew it. You've heard me say that. I'm going to say it again anyway, because you got to hear it. You chew your food if you have teeth. And that's why you have to keep your teeth. So you chew your food until that food is a paste. Now, this is extremely important if you're doing your carbohydrates, which, you know me, I've asked you to minimize those. But if you're still eating a lot of the grains, those grains have protective shells on them. That's the fiber. If you don't chew through the fiber and make it liquidy, you'll mess your digestion. You'll bloat. You'll get constipation. You'll get reflux. You'll feel heavy when you eat your food. When you mix that food with other foods, you'll have all sorts of digestive upsets. So whether you're doing the story of steak, or the story of oatmeal, or the story of brown rice, you've got to chew it until it's a mush. Because there's an enzyme in the saliva that the parotid gland produces called amylase. And amylase is a chemical, it's an enzyme that greatly speeds up the digestion of the carbohydrate in your mouth. Not the piece of steak, not the animal protein. That animal protein depends upon Once it goes into the stomach, your hydrochloric acid to break it apart. And that's a story in itself. But before you get anything into your stomach, you've got to have it mushed by your chewing. Now, on the way down, it goes through this long tube called the esophagus. And I think most of you understand the esophagus. But as you swallow and that food goes down the esophagus, before it gets to the stomach, now here's the key, and you need a little bit of anatomy to do this. Before it gets to the stomach, it's going to pass through the diaphragm. Now, if you don't know what the diaphragm looks like, I just want you to picture a big piece of saran wrap. That's right, saran wrap, that stretchy, fibrous saran wrap. And I want you to picture your esophagus going through that saran wrap. So there's a hole in the saran wrap. And that tube goes through that saran wrap, makes a hole through it, and then it becomes your stomach. So on the bottom side of your diaphragm is your stomach. On the top side of it is your esophagus. Problem. Here's the big problem. And this is why 3 to 4 aisles of every drugstore in the United States are there to sell you digestive aids. There's nothing that tops the drugstore chart than digestive aids. 3 to 4 aisles, every drugstore across the world. And you know what a good percentage of it is? It has to do with this esophagus as it passes through the diaphragm or the saran wrap. In lots of people, because now we're going to use other information from past shows, when that esophagus goes through the saran wrap, if the diaphragm and the psoas muscle, a muscle deep in your belly, along with that diaphragm, which is deep in your belly, have not been stretched through the right kind of flexibility training, if you haven't trained correctly with your breath, we'll introduce a term today saying that if you understand how to breathe, it relaxes your diaphragm. And if you understand how to stretch and breathe, it really relaxes that saran wrap. But if that saran wrap has not been stretched, if the psoas muscle, and that was my show a few weeks ago on exercise, has not been correctly stretched, then that saran wrap chokes the esophagus. It chokes the esophagus. So the food gets stuck. It feels strain. You feel stress as the food goes through the diaphragm, meaning through the saran wrap and into the stomach. Just that stress alone, structurally. This has nothing to do with nutrition. It doesn't matter what you eat, will cause the esophagus to spasm. That's 50% of esophageal reflux. The food that wants to go down, but you feel like it's going to come back up. The food that goes down at your dinner meal, and then when you go to sleep, it comes back up. This has nothing to do with anything but structure. Insight, new slant on digestion. A lot of the problems people have with digestion are structural problems. They are not solely nutritional problems, and we'll get to a lot of that in a moment. So the story of food, chew it, swallow it. Have patency. There's a word you hear me use all the time, patency, meaning when that food goes through the esophagus and it wants to go through the saran wrap so it can get to the stomach, you have to have those holes there, those orifices. The tone in that entry to the stomach has to be correct. It can't be too loose and it can't be too tight. And all that looseness and tightness are what exercise, stretching, breath work are all about. Another thing you need to understand, and I promise I will get graphics on my website this week, but go to Google, go and get the pictures yourself, the picture of the diaphragm as it relates to the stomach. Just get on Google and say images for diaphragm digestion. Thousands of people do fantastic graphics on this. What happens on the underside of the diaphragm when the psoas muscle is contracted, is it moves forward. So go back to my show on flexibility, straighttalk.cc. I think it was show 15 or something, dynamic exercise it was called. And get an understanding of what happens when the psoas muscle, which is just under the diaphragm, which is just behind the stomach, moves forward. This great big muscle that we spent a whole show discussing, when it gets short and it moves forward, it's behind the stomach and it pushes the stomach upwards. That's right. So this esophagus that's going, now use the theater of your mind here. You can do this. That esophagus that's going through the saran wrap into that big gullet we call the stomach, that stomach is suddenly pushed up. So the very opening of the stomach is just underneath the diaphragm now. So the hole in the stomach never closes because it's been pushed up almost to the other side of the stomach. Sometimes we call that a hiatal hernia. Some of you have hiatal hernias. But if you don't have a hiatal hernia, and you've just got an anterior displacement of your psoas, a lot of times it will force that stomach up towards the diaphragm, and when you swallow your food, the food feels like it wants to come back up, and it'll give you what? That acid taste in your throat. And that acid taste in your throat will go down eventually your pharynx. It comes up the esophagus, and then it'll end up in your lungs. Do you know how many people suffer from respiratory distress every day? Because they're swallowing their stomach acids. And they're given drugs. They're given drugs to turn off the production of their hydrochloric acid so they won't get pain when the acids reflux out of the stomach and into the lungs. And then those acids and those microbes from the stomach get into the lungs and they cause pneumonias or chronic respiratory diseases. And all they have to do is drop 20 pounds and stretch their psoas muscle. So that food that you chew on the way down has to get to the stomach. Before it gets to the stomach, it's got to be finessed by the esophagus. And that esophagus cannot afford to either be spatially displaced or crushed because the diaphragm is too tight. Now, once we get into the stomach, it's a story you probably know. You've got to produce lots of HCl there in the stomach. And we do when we're young. When we're young, under 30, we can digest anything. We can digest nails, steel. You can eat a Taco Bell and have six cheeseburgers at 12 o'clock at night and just those stomach acids dissolve it all. But the minute they deplete, you set yourself up for thousands of problems. Thousands of problems. And you hear this on Dr. Marshall's show all the time, and it's so true. Cultivate that stomach acid. Minimize the need for that stomach acid to be used. And when do we use HCl? What do we use HCl for? To begin digestion of protein. Chicken, fish, beef, lamb, duck, pork, you name it. Protein. Protein in dairy. Protein which breaks down to amino acids. But that digestion doesn't begin in the mouth, right? That's where carbohydrate digestion begins with amylase. It begins in the stomach with your HCl. If you have enough HCl, if you haven't burned out your HCl. Now, if you don't have enough HCl in that stomach, then that meat will begin to rot and putrefy. And that's everybody's problem with meat. They eat it, they enjoy it, but because it's cooked, or because you're afraid to eat it rare to raw because it's such poor quality that no one should risk eating rare to raw meat when they buy it from Ralph's and some of these garbage stores that sell these horribly processed animal proteins, instead of getting the grass-fed organic beef and lamb, which is available everywhere, go on the computer. If you don't have one, go to the library and ask the librarian to teach you how to get on a computer. I don't care if you're 30, 60, 90, or 100 years old. Get to the library. Those people there are happy.